In today's episode, Samantha battles through the pain, Mike pushes the limits, and I join a cult. This is episode 54. Okay, let's. Since we're about an hour in, what do you say we get started and let's get this thing rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody good?
Sounds good to me, Samantha.
Thanks, Josh. Wait.
You're welcome,
Mike. I mean, I'm Mike.
You guys can't even keep it straight anymore.
I forgot.
That's
well, I mean, when there are only three of us, there are only so many combinations.
I was so deep that in the character can be. Of being Josh that I forgot that I was... that I'm Josh.
Well,
sounds like okay. The real Josh to me.
That I thought since you were talking to Josh as Samantha, that Samantha was Josh as me.
Well, Josh, why don't you give us the traditional opening then, since you're Josh today?
Here, we're going to talk about these games.
How about welcome to Funsphere Game Club? Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Josh.
And me, Josh.
Everyone's Josh today. Well, since we're off to this just wonderful start, you know what? Hey, Josh, why don't you tell us what you played this week?
I've been playing a bunch of games.
Oh, you gotta sound like the guy from Blackbird.
I was gonna say, who are you trying to, one, mimic, and two, are you trying to...
The real Josh.
You know, it's nowhere near it. My voice does not sound like that.
Yes, it does.
I have enough recordings to confirm it does not.
If you think you're in trouble.
You've just been listening to all the recordings pitched down.
Yes, that's it.
At 0.5 speed.
Yeah. Maybe you should speed it up, Josh. Listen to what you really sound like.
You talk like
like always,
like a Jerry Seinfeld
I'm
going
to have to be the parent here. You know what? Mike! Tell us about the games you've played this week.
This week?
Yeah, or this month, or this
no,
decade,
today
whatever
only.
You want to do here. What have you played today?
Well, I finally upgraded.
Yeah.
Got the Xbox, so I downloaded all kinds of stuff. I went with the Game Pass, which I didn't think I would get. But then I was like, you know what? You're spending $15 on all these other bullshit subscriptions, so what's one more?
I will.
And it's
this.
Only a dollar this month, so that is probably the real seller.
So let me give you just a little bit of advice, Mike, if I may.
You may not.
I'm going to anyway.
You made it.
Now it's unsolicited advice at this point. Game Pass was one of those things I was very, very skeptical of it at first. However, they have really amped their game up with it. They're getting, you may have seen this in the news, Death Stranding is coming to Game Pass next month. So, like, they're even starting to get PlayStation stuff, and a lot of indie stuff comes to it. And if you, they typically have a very good sale from companies around the holidays. Of like getting 3 months worth for like $9 a month, and then like even sometimes Xbox is like, hey, if you buy 3 months worth, we'll give you a month free. I think for the past 3 years, I've bought 9 months worth of gift cards for it and got a whole year's worth of subscriptions.
Hmm.
They're pretty good about that. So it is a very like consumer friendly thing.
Also well, nice. It's not great consumer-wise if you pay for Xfinity.
Okay.
As your internet. I 4 days ago, not even halfway, well, maybe it was more than four, it was not even halfway through the month. I got an email saying that I have reached 90% of my data allowance.
Oh.
And it's okay. Just from downloading the games that I want to play. But, I mean, it shouldn't have been that much because I haven't even filled the terabyte hard drive. But, I don't know, I guess that... I mean, we're definitely going to go over.
That happened to me last month when Skid was here, as I was telling Josh earlier. But then because a couple weeks ago, it was also internet was also down from like 8 a.m. or 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., I got a $100 credit on my account, so they paid for
Jeez.
It.
So are you with Xfinity as well? Mm-hmm. Apparently the 1229 is the cap, and that's it. Like, everybody gets the same cap. Nothing you do with your, like, if you boost your speed package or whatever, it's still the same cap.
You know what I think that is? Because they, during COVID, all those companies removed their caps. AT&T, the company I use, actually doesn't have one. I have unlimited on my plan.
Yeah.
I think you can get an unlimited plan separately, but I mean, as soon as KUB... puts
yeah.
down their fiber, I'm done.
You're
so
done.
I'm biding my time.
Yep. Everybody is.
But they... So I looked it up today, and I found out that they let you go over your first month, but then after that, every 50 gigs you're over, they charge you $10.
Ooh. And that's... I mean, 50 gigs is pretty much one game at this point.
Yeah.
Wow.
But how... How does anyone, like, truly participate in the Game Pass with those kind of limitations?
Downloading. I have to download all the games.
Yeah, it's ultimately my fault because I just downloaded everything that I think could be fun, where I should have just been like, I'm going to play one at a time.
I was also going to say they also now have the, you can play them cloud-wise, so that might help.
No, because you're still streaming the data.
Yeah.
I guess it would be the equivalent. Well,
you wouldn't be streaming as much. You're not. It's not like you're streaming the. It's on a server, so you're connecting to it. You're not transmitting as much.
I bet it would depend on the game, though. If you're playing like a long RPG kind of game, then it could be longer, or you're gonna eat up more data than just downloading the game outright.
Yeah, I would agree. So what?
But a game like Abzu. Holy shit, how much data would I have saved?
True. So, I can ask this. Have you been surprised by how many upgraded versions of games you had already owned that they give you? I will say that is one thing that Xbox has really been on, that PlayStation was for a little bit, and now they're like, nah, you don't get both versions or an upgrade anymore.
See, I think I'm too disappointed in the fact that even though this is supposed to be a full-fledged new generation of system,
yeah.
Like, the incremental differences are making it not fun anymore. Like, they didn't even bother changing the user interface between the Xbox One and this one. It's exactly the same. And I had to brace Angela for it. I was like, I know it doesn't look like a new system, but everything... And I had to defend it, like, look at the load times. Look how much faster that was. But it's still, like, incredibly unimpressive to get a bunch of, like, tiny boosts when we were jumping from, like, PS2 to PS3, PS1 to PS2.
Those days of the giant graphical leap are over. It is at this point, it's all just what I've heard of a term for it. I'm trying to think of it. Quality of life improvements. Like, you're talking about the load time. It's like, it is amazing now how much faster it loads. But like I said, from, you know, someone that's maybe not super into it, it doesn't look any different. It doesn't play any different and stuff like that. So I know exactly, like, I am also... very unimpressed with the fact that they have not changed the dashboard for the Xbox. It is, and to be fair, the PlayStation 5 is not much different than the PlayStation 4 either. So, like, even stuff like that changes.
I still want one though. I looked at the video comparing all the different horizons. And just the extra textures in that. And then the load time, like 40 seconds for the regular PS4 to like not even 2 on PS5 is crazy. Yes.
Like literally,
and like draw distances and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Lighting.
Yeah.
Shadows.
The
all
blades
of, that.
Of grass just having, so like they're like just kind of blurry on the PS4, or like the flowers, and then like on PS5 it's like there's like you there's all the individual petals and blades and like bugs flying around it that they're just not there.
It's like not going to the eye doctor for a decade and then getting your new prescription.
That's about to be me.
Wow. That's a pretty good analogy, Mike. I like that. That's really good. So, but what have you played? What besides
Demo? So, the funny thing is what I've been playing the most, I bought outright right before I got the Xbox. So the way that I got the Xbox was I had submitted like the request to buy it from Amazon.
Okay.
And like 2 months later, it was like, we accepted your invitation. You can give us money now.
Wow.
Which
okay.
was really insulting. But I got the email and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll finally upgrade then. But the day before, I just bought the Mafia trilogy.
Okay.
Because I didn't even know, but they completely redid the first one, which I had never played. I only played 2 and some of 3, and I thought that it wasn't good.
Okay.
But 2 I really enjoyed, and in going back through 1 for the first time, like, it's pretty cool.
I remember that game getting a lot of praise when the GTA remastered came out, because they were like, look at what this company did for their remastered. Like, this is what a remaster should be.
Yeah. So, have you played it?
I've played the third one. I've not played any of the prior two.
Oh, did you play it through the trilogy?
No, actually, I just had Mafia 3. I really liked it.
So, 1 is like a, like what they've been doing with the Resident Evils, where it's a full-fledged, like, we made the game from the ground up.
Yeah.
But then 2 and 3, they gave the typical, like, HD remaster, where it's the same game, they just polished up a lot. And it's still, it does look better than the Grand Theft Auto games.
Yeah. Yep. Like I said, I remember seeing that. Also, I don't know if you guys caught that recently. Apparently, Rockstar has had a big change of management and stuff like that. They are trying to get rid of some of their like internal strife about, like, apparently it was a real frat boy culture, and they're like, we're not doing that again. And they also had a response because of the poor response to the GTA trilogy. They announced that they were killing the Red Dead remake. And I think it was GTA 4 might have had a potential remake that they were going to do.
I didn't know about either of those.
Yeah, that's the last things I've heard. And I think they announced that they are working on GTA 6 right now. And it's going to have the first female protagonist for a GTA game. But yeah, like I said, a lot of the stuff was like, there's a reason you've not heard much from us about this game is because we've been doing some cleaning house.
Sweeping up.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it wasn't even their doing. Didn't they license it out to a third party to develop the trilogy?
Yes, the same company that they used to port those over to the iOS systems and stuff like that. And remember how old that was?
Yeah.
How many years ago that was that game came out to the iPad?
No.
The last news from Rockstar that I heard of was that they finally are cool with Remedy and they're going in together on a Max Payne.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Yeah, they're redoing the first Max Payne.
Maximilian Payne.
That's going to be interesting to see what they come up with. So that means Remedy's got 2 games cooking then. They've got Alan Wake 2, which
I can't freaking wait for.
Yep, and then, you know, if they're going to remake Max Payne, that's going to be interesting.
I hope they call it Twal and Twake.
Or Alan Woke.
Alan Woke. Oh, no, but then they'll go broke.
I just hope they call it Silent Hill.
Oh, that would be great, yeah.
That would be.
Oh, it was a trick this whole time. Silent Hills.
That would actually be really funny. All right, so Mike, besides, you know, Mafia, that, anything else you played?
To go back to the Game Pass.
Okay.
The downside of that is, especially for someone with extreme ADHD like me, I like can't stay focused on a game for more than a day before I like another one meets my attention. So I've made no progress on anything. Kind of like we were talking about last month. It could still be part of the summer lull.
Yeah. Okay.
But I like when I first downloaded games, I was like, holy shit, there are all these indie games that I've been wanting to get on the Switch. I was just waiting on a sale, like Firewatch and
okay.
God, there was another one. A bunch of like the old school like adventure style that have made a resurgence.
Okay.
But I downloaded a bunch of those and then I'll play it for like 30 minutes before I fall asleep. And then the next day I'll play another game. And now I have all these games that, yeah, I started, but I'm probably going to have to just restart and sit down in earnest and try to go through them. But I don't want to. I just want to play the new shiny thing.
Well, that's the great thing about Game Pass is you can do that. And you could be like, hey, this game is really not for me. At least I didn't drop $60.
I don't know. See, like I'm the kind of person who does a lot of research before I invest in something. So I've never been burned on like taking a chance with my money. But I am the type of person who really needs the commitment of choosing with my wallet.
Oh, okay.
Because it, like, I mean, even the case, we talked about this when we did Animal Crossing, but the first one, like, if I just went off first impressions, I never would have played that game again. But the fact that I spent 60, no, I guess it was 50 back then for the GameCube games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, $50, and I knew that was the only game I was going to get to play for the next 3 or 4 months.
So I've got to ask two follow-up questions, because so just to confirm with you, there's never been any game that you've been hyped for, purchased, and then been deeply disappointed with?
I mean, Infinite.
Okay.
But it still was enjoyable. It just wasn't what I wanted it to be. But as far as games that, like, what the hell were you thinking?
Take kind back of, the next day?
Yeah, disappointment? No, I don't think so.
What about, there's one I've got to know, Other M.
I beat the game.
Wow.
I just kept thinking, like, if this wasn't, my love for Metroid made me finish it. But then I thought, if this wasn't a Metroid game, it would have been fine. It just didn't deserve to be a Metroid. But it wasn't a bad game. It was kind of fun.
See, that is one thing that, like, I've made the big transition to mainly buying digital games. And it is the downside to it, where Game Pass helps with that, to kind of tie this all in together. There have been games several times where I'm like, son of a bitch, I want my money back because this game is awful or terrible. Like, I can think of two in particular. Other M, I took it back literally the next day. And that game called 1886, Order 1886 for PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Like,
mask?
It turned out, like, I think there were masks involved, but, no, it was like, oh, it was like supposedly the most hype graphics for the PlayStation 4 at the time, But what they didn't tell you was the game lasted 6 hours. And it was a full price game. Yeah. What about you, Samantha? Does this come up a lot on... can I ask, since you're our resident PC gamer, like... All the stuff you would obviously buy from Steam and stuff like that is digital, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
How do you get do you have like a refund window or something?
I haven't ever even tried, but from what I understand, Steam's really good about refunds. You just say, I hate this. Give it back.
So to piggyback off the question I asked Mike, have you ever had the same reaction of like been hyped for a game, bought it, and like, no, this is trash?
Oh, are you asking me? I thought you were talking to Mike.
Yes.
I was like, no. Yeah, the Inuyasha RPG a long time ago. Oh. That's the only game I can remember. And maybe Dirge of Cerberus also. I remember being really excited for it. And the...
Was that the PSP game?
No. It was PS2.
PS2.
It was a Vincent-centric one.
There was another one that was... PSP though, right?
Yeah, that was fucking
Crisis Core.
Yes, Crisis Core. I almost had Birth by Sleep, but that was Kingdom Hearts, and that brought some good characters in. Yeah, the Gacked game was Crisis Core, and then I remember not really liking Dirge of Cerberus, but I liked the cutscenes. And then same thing with Inuyasha, except Dirge of Cerberus I was able to play through. I had a headache from all like the gun sounds, but it was like fine. And Inuyasha, that was like the height of my obsession, and I really wanted to play that RPG. I was so excited for it. And the gameplay, I hated it so much. It almost physically hurt me to play that game. But I kept playing it because for the full animated cutscenes. And like, just because I was so into the couple, Inuyasha and Kagome, I'm like, I have to see if they kiss or what. Like, I just had to keep going, even though it hurt so bad. I hated it. I hate just walking, like, everything, every second I was playing that game, I hated it. But I kept doing it.
So it's a game it was a spike game for you. Like, I'm getting through this no matter what.
Yeah, and you play some too. Random, like, insert character. Like, also came from the future, like Kagome, and then you can pick male or female. And I kept going it because depending on if you, like, if you pick the girl, she falls in love with you. Yeah, she picked the guy, he falls in love with Kagome, but they get rejected, obviously. And I kept going because I'm like, I hate you so much, character. I can't wait to see you get your heart broken. I'm going to keep playing.
Now, I will say, you reminded me of, I did get disappointed in some of the later Mega Man and Castlevania games just because they were at that point exploiting the popularity of the franchises and cranking them out, not unlike Call of Duty or any of those that became yearly games. There was a lot of even franchises we've talked about, and hopefully we'll be doing it at some point, but Battle Network started out as such a fun game and became so just run of the mill, not interesting anymore kind of thing.
Okay.
Castlevania had some serious growing pains with in their like 3D time with the 64 games, the PlayStation 2 games. A lot of just I bought it for Castlevania, but why?
Have they ever made a good 3D game?
Lords of Shadow was pretty interesting. I just don't like it was like a God of War style game where it's just like hack and slash beat 'em up and then timed button bosses, which I've always hated.
Quick time events, okay.
Yes, I hate those so much because I'm like, I barely even like racing games because I don't like the the time constraints, and I'm too impulsive, so whenever I see something flash, I just mash anything without really taking into consideration like what you should be pressing.
Yeah, okay.
It's just I don't know. Makes me too anxious. I hate it.
Anxious.
Wow, we've kind of touched on a lot of games that I'm going to talk about, not specifically, but I'm actually going to reference a lot of these games in my stuff.
Inuyasha RPG.
No, I didn't get around.
That's Josh's favorite game.
It is, of all time.
Wow.
So I am still kind of in the lull, like we talked about last time, but I did make myself do a couple of things this last time since we recorded. I made myself go into my back catalog, pick a game, and at least give it a shot. So with that, I went with Cyberpunk 2077. Hmm. I got the re-released PS5 version for like $15 on a sale. I was like, out of morbid curiosity, I'll give it $15 to do it.
Wait, so did you get it physical copy or
no?
Digital. So how do you know that it was a re-released versus? Did they make like a distinction between?
Yes, they did. They did make it. This was they did this update. This is the promised PS5 version that I bought.
They took the original down though, right? There's no option to still get it.
For a short time they did.
So right, you still could accidentally buy the shitty version.
They replaced that version with the newest version. However, I will definitely say my biggest takeaway from that game is it looks really cool, but it's buggy and boring as hell. So I literally played this game for an hour, and I was like, this is not for me. I was like, I don't have the appetite for this type of game right now. And I kept seeing, like, so many glitches and bugs. I literally spent 5 minutes watching this one character model, an NPC, not even an interactive one, teleport into a corner, walk forward, walk through a wall, and then 5 seconds later, teleport back in and do the exact same thing.
That was New Vegas for me. Yeah. Like, how, I don't see how anybody loved that game. I couldn't find a single fucking ant in that game that I could shoot because only his head was through the floor. But then they could still hit you and kill you. You just couldn't hit them.
Yeah, and like as soon as like I felt the gameplay was like, oh, this has been copy pasted from so many other type of games right now, or they're trying to put their spin on it, and I was like, I just don't have the patience for this. I'll say this, it looks very, very impressive, and like it's cool what they can do with the city and stuff. And man, oh man, do they put a uncomfortable amount of time that they're like, you need to spend on your character creator, and I was like, it's a first-person game. You can't even see the character, so what does it matter?
Reflections, Josh. Reflections.
I guess.
Is there like G-pose type of thing? Can you take pictures?
Maybe. I didn't get that far into it or care enough to find out.
Well, cutscenes, right?
No.
Your character would show up in cutscenes?
No, unfortunately, you could only get one, but you could choose the length. So there you go. That is dead serious. That is in the character model.
I remember
creation.
That being a thing. The custom genitalia was a big deal.
Yes, apparently. Oh my God. But no, Mike, the cutscenes are from first person perspective too. So I was like, no, maybe later in the game, I don't know, and I have a very good indication or feeling that I will never know because I don't think I'll be coming back to it. Unless there's some huge, huge patch down the road, it just, it's one of those things like that was one hyped up about, and I didn't spend a lot of money, so I don't care. But I'm like, wow, why were people so excited for this game?
They sold us on a lie.
It looked awesome.
They sure did. And like I said, it does.
The setting and everything seemed like, why hasn't any game taken this approach to this kind of environment before? So it was promising.
They just
yeah, and like a lot of it is just it seems to be a walking talking simulator too, and I'm like, I'm good. It's not even like Fallout level of interesting to me.
That
I'm just like no.
That reminds me, I want to play Stray, that game everybody's losing their minds over.
Well, let me help you out with that, Samantha, because that's game two on my list of games that I've played. So, I played this today, gave it a whirl to kind of test PlayStation's new subscription service. This game was available.
Wait, new subscription service?
Yeah, they did an upgrade. They merged their PlayStation Now, PlayStation Plus together a couple of months ago.
Now it's PlayStation Plow.
No, it's PlayStation Plus. They kept the better name of the two. Which I like PlayStation Plow, Mike. That is quite clever.
You would play that simulator.
You would. Snowplow simulator.
Or even just field plowing.
It's in my queue. It's in my
Josh queue. Is Mr. Plow.
That's right. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow. So, I tried it, and I was like, okay, this is pretty interesting for a platformer. It is Cat Simulator 2022. It is a catformer. But I get an indication. I played it for maybe 2 hours, and I'm like, okay, I see why it's interesting, but I was like, again. And it could be just I'm in the slump right now where it's like nothing is hitting right. I was like, okay, this is neat. I'm glad I didn't spend any money really to play this. And I was like, I don't think I'll be revisiting this one either. But
I just heard a review that said like this would have been a better game if they would just quit adding these other fucking elements to the game. Why couldn't you just like let somebody play as a cat? Why does it have to be this kind of like cyberpunk style setting? And
so that brings me to the next game I'm going to talk the most about. And a big thing for me on this next game is the fact that it's kind of, I heard this phrase a couple years ago and it's always stuck with me. It's a gumbo game.
Oh, everything.
And by that, everything is in together. So like Mike was just talking about, why couldn't you just be a cat in a normal city versus you got to have the cyberpunk dystopia feel. And you got to get collectibles and stuff like that. So the next game that I played, and I just saw this advertised a little while ago, and I decided to give it a whirl, hadn't heard anything about it, but it looked neat, was Cult of the Lamb. Have either of you seen this advertised or anything like that? Okay. Mm-hmm. So to break down our gumbo of this game, the biggest thing is it's like Animal Crossing, but it's less evil than Animal Crossing. Especially.
But it's called Cult of the Lamb.
Yes. So it's got Animal Crossing with Hades, which we've talked about, mixed in, plus a Stardew Valley feel to it. So a little something for Samantha and yourself there, Mike. And a Binding of Isaac / Legend of Zelda type feel to it. So that all sounds really good, right? Kind of mixed together.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of everything. And the game itself is really fun, except there is a huge, huge problem.
Wait, I have seen this. What? Go on.
Okay. So the biggest problem is this is a game from a company called Massive Monster. They're fairly new from what I can tell from my little research I did. They've only created 3 games. But they seem to be a company that mainly puts their games out first on 2 platforms, PC or Switch. So the last 2 games they've made, including this one, have gone to Xbox and PlayStation. And they play like absolute trash on consoles. Mm. Yeah, apparently I did a little bit of research last night, and apparently the game runs fantastic on the PC, but all of the console ports are having a lot of issues right now. Like, literally, I played through... It's got, like, four bosses. I beat the first two bosses, and literally the last 3 or 4 days attempts I've made on the third boss, the game will crash just randomly. And I'm talking hard freeze, like, PlayStation 1 / earlier. And I'm like, how at this point? This game is super small size. I think it was, like, 2.5 gigabytes or something like that. I was like, how can a game like this come to a major console and perform terribly?
Well, it has always sounded like it's really easy to get in on Nintendo's consoles now.
Yeah.
Like, because they've tried to make a big indie push, and you see it with all the shovelware.
Yeah.
I don't think Nintendo polices that kind of crap anymore. So it sounds to me like the company just is doing nothing in the testing stage.
Or, like I said, it could just be the inexperienced studio that is, you know, this is the second time they brought something to the bigger platforms and they're just not used to it. Which is weird because everything I heard about the Xbox and the PlayStation, they both move towards like a programming language, we'll call it, for lack of a better term, that's more closer related to PC so that people could bring more games onto their systems easier. You know, you mentioned the Switch has a lot of shovelware. PlayStation actually is having a big problem with shovelware right now too. So I guess really the only one that's really kind of still guarding the gates and was like bring it back to Cyberpunk, the first company to pull it off their stores was Xbox. Even though they had a massive marketing collaboration with CD Projekt Red, they're like, look, this game is not playable in its current state. And they pulled it, and they had a warning. It's like, look, if you search it out, you can find it. It will have the option to buy it, but we will want you to know it is not in a playable state on Xbox at the moment. So it's like, it's weird to, I guess we've had such a long stretch of having games that are in such good shape that, like, when one has problems like this, it's like beyond infuriating to me for some reason. I don't know.
If it's thoughts? Not even, yeah, I guess if it's like unplayable, that would be really frustrating. Like, that's the basic thing. But, like, you know, when Forbidden West came out, it had a ton of bugs, but nothing that broke the game for me, so they were just kind of funny. Like, yeah. Sometimes Aloy would just be ahead, or like NPCs.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not even like the biggest thing of like, oh, I beat this quest, but the icon is still stuck on the screen. That's not a big thing, but it's weird. I know this game just came out like last week or something like that, so they haven't really had too much time to patch it or anything like that. But it's just like it started off really strong, and I was gonna like highly recommend the game, but in its current state I can't. And I'm actually like I was gonna look into maybe like, I don't think there's any way I can get a refund at this point, but it may have to sit until it gets patched to be completed, which is kind of sad because like I was talking about the gumbo stuff, it takes the best parts of a lot of those games that came before it, you know, like all those ones I mentioned, and it does a really good job, and it's really fun to play and stuff like that, but it's just you can't play it at this point anymore. It's really weird too
that it was, it's becoming the new norm. Like there have been so many games that like whether they were pushed by the studios like you have to hit this deadline because we have to hit this holiday season, yeah. Or what, like it's all like profit driven kind of deadlines with no regard to how long something actually takes to get to a polished state. And there have been so many comeback stories that we've seen lately, like No Man's Sky is probably the big one, but yeah. It took that game fucking 4 years
before it got
everybody has such a short term memory.
That's probably true.
In the gaming industry, like, everybody is so quick to forget. I always come back to, like, when the first Mass Effect came out. Like, we took pre-orders on it. Everybody was psyched for this game. The game came out. Everybody that bought the game brought it back to trade it in weeks later and was like, yeah, that was kind of shitty. I didn't enjoy it at all. And then by the time that Mass Effect 2 came out, those same people who brought the game back and complained about it were like, yeah, I can't wait for the second one. I haven't called some of them out. Like, you talk so much shit about the first one. Like, why do you think that the second one is going to be so good?
Now, I can give you...
They're like, oh, the first one wasn't that bad. It just... It was different.
Now, there are a lot of games I can point to where the second game in the series was far superior to the first one. Like, even... Like, the most one... The recent one I can think of was The Evil Within 2 is fantastic. The Evil Within 1 sucks.
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing where I, going back to deciding with your wallet, like, if I bought the first one and I didn't like it, there's no fucking way you could convince me to buy the second one.
You could me if I saw a cool-looking character. You know what? So I'm thinking about all these games coming out, and then, like, they're playable, but they have all these bugs, and they have to be patched to be, you know, polished, blah, blah. What I like that they're doing with Baldur's Gate 3 is they put out a demo like 2 years ago on Steam, right? And if you purchased which is like the first 3 hours of the game or something, and you could buy it and pay full price, and then when the game's fully released you get it. But I haven't really touched it since then because it was so buggy. But it's like basically pre-ordering, I guess, through a beta. And then, but it's constantly getting updated and they're adding more, and like they're slowly releasing the full game, but you go in knowing that you're buying a work in progress. You're buying into a work in progress, so you don't expect it to be completely...
But you paid full retail?
Yeah. So like, it's just like choosing to invest in the future of this game that you know is going to evolve and get updated and fixed over time, which...
Yeah, I can...
I don't...
I like that, because it's like you're going and knowing what you're getting, which is...
I kind of agree. I'll say when I think that they should go to the way that Minecraft did it. Like, if you were an early adopter of that game, you either got it for free or you paid $5 or maybe $10, depending on how early in the game you got it. But what you paid then was the full fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, as you were rewarded as an earlier adopter by paying less for the full game and all the future content that you would get, well, until they started adding other stuff. But that's the kind of crap that it should be. Like, if you want to sell people a half-built game, then they should pay half the price of a full game. And they should, like, for their support, they should be rewarded with the full game if it comes to fruition. I just see, like, if you start asking people to, because it's not even a pre-order at that point, you're asking for the complete purchase price of an unfinished game, then you're not gonna get, like, what happens if they never finish the game?
It's like investing is a risk. But Baldur's Gate 3 is coming out. It's like you basically pre-ordered it, but then you have access to everything as they update it. Like, the demo's getting added to, and then eventually it'll be the full game.
So I gotta say,
I think at any, if that's the case, well, yeah, sorry, before if that's gonna be the case, then it should be built in that if at any point throughout the development you didn't like it, you should be able to get a total refund no matter how long into the game you played.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do so that on Steam, I think.
I think
there's a cap, though.
So I gotta say, I think there's an interesting concept. Like, maybe, maybe there's a compromise here that would make everybody happy. I get where Samantha's talking about that a company puts it out like, look, this game's not ready to ship yet. We're offering a trial of the game for a like Mike mentioned, though, maybe a discounted price of like $5 or something like that. And then
well, it's
like,
not even discounted. You're just buying in at whatever it's they currently feel the game is valued at. You just are grandfathered in to whatever you paid.
Yeah, or like I'm saying, you know, maybe they have a preview build that's like $5, right? And then they have an option. Hey, you've thanks for doing the preview build. We'll when the full version's ready, we'll let you unlock it for I don't know a discounted price of some sort, versus paying like $60 up ahead of time. Like with this company that I'm talking about on Cults of the Lamb, like I feel like I'm both being like hypercritical of them and like
I was taken aback when you said it's only been a week.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's, and I'm trying to justify it. This looks like it's a small independent studio. Their publisher is Devolver, so that should tell you they are indie as they can be. But it's like at the same time, I think putting out a game in this shape is kind of irresponsible, and it's something like, you know, we're all big time willing to jump on a big company when they do this. But I think people are sometimes too forgiving of these smaller companies. Or am I just being too critical? What do you
Well,
guys
no.
think?
I mean, if you pre-order a game, you can get your money back before the game comes out.
Yeah. But if you put it up on the store, like, I view it as it's got to be ready to go. Like, you wouldn't walk into a film like it's like, hey, you paid full price for this movie. Here it is on it.
We're still filming it.
But guess what? All the CGI is not done. So there's going to be big splotches of you'll see the actor in green screen.
No. I see this more as I pre-ordered this game. And with it, I got access to a demo, which also would give me access to everything that gets added to it. And then the full game comes out. So there's like...
I don't think you should call it pre-ordering if you're purchasing the game outright, though.
No, it's
and that's
like,
what that is.
So that when the game is released, I have it. Like, fully released. That's what I was paying for. But you also get access to these other... like, you get the demo with it, and then the demo is getting updated. They keep... the full story is not out yet, but they keep adding classes and all this stuff, and like...
So, at that point, do you consider that a pre-order bonus, or do you consider it like a alpha or a test build?
No, you're just purchasing it at the finished rate that it's at that time. But it's still, like, it's not a pre-order, it's a purchase. You purchase the game. You just purchased it before they said the game is done.
If you had to pay for access to the demo, or if you buy the demo, if you purchased it at the time, then you're guaranteed all this other stuff.
I can see the argument, because there's two different things here.
Like, if you could put $5 down and play everything until the game is finished and then wait until the game is finished to pay for the rest of the game, then yeah, I think it's totally fine. But if you're having to pay for the game upright for a game that's not finished and only go on the, well, I trust that they'll have it done at some point. But No Man's Sky, again, can you imagine doing that? Like, if they told you, like, the game we're putting out now is totally unfinished, but as long as you pay full price for it right now, then we promise you 4 years from now
it'll
you
be
will
awesome.
Like it.
Okay, well, I mean,
I was gonna say, aren't they doing that with that Star Citizen? Hasn't that
that's
thing
been an alpha?
I just,
yeah, that's
I
like,
was gonna say that thing's been in development for years. I just saw that they had just nearly reached $500 million in fundraising for that game. And it's still not out.
It looks cool,
It's years away from being out.
Well, I think it's
I gotta
like,
be honest. I only know of that game from all the like talk and criticism of it. I don't think I've seen screenshot one of that.
Well, there's a lot of videos of game footage of people who are in the alpha. I mean, I probably wouldn't get it, but it looks cool the way you like have to fly your ship and have to like find a parking spot. And I like the immersion looks really good whenever they get it.
Is it another crafting game?
No.
Like, okay. Maybe, like I said, I don't know a lot about it. That's the one thing of the gumbo that I'm getting a little tired of in gaming. Where every game does not need a freaking crafting game.
Oh, I like crafting.
A crafting element.
I think it's fine. As long as they are good about not forcing it on people. It, like, the more mechanics you're going to incorporate in the game, the more flexible you need to be with, like, let the players determine the way they're going to play those games.
So to give you, like, an example of how bad this game reacts, do you guys remember playing older systems or a PC or something like that when it was starting to overheat?
Yeah, yeah.
And you could see the game starting to slow down and, like, stutter and stuff like that. That's what happens on this game on a PlayStation 5. So that just tells you, I mean, this thing has got massive horsepower. It can handle games like Cyberpunk pretty well. It can handle any, you know, 50 to 120 gigabyte game. No problem. You know, you can play it for 12 hours and it doesn't show any signs of issues. This game, it's like literally like 15 to 20 minutes in, you'll start noticing your first bug. And then like 20 to 30 minutes in, it's like playing an old school NES game that you've been playing all day long and it's like it's cooking that game.
Maybe it's just a game made by people who don't actually know how to make games.
Oh, brutal. Brutal, Mike.
That's the case. Whenever I first started editing,
yeah,
I achieved the same result eventually, but the extra man hours and all the like way over the top convoluted processes that I did to achieve the same results.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference.
I suppose it is. Well, anybody got any other games or anything like that they want to talk about right now?
We all playing Pokemon?
No.
When it comes out?
I was going to say, Mike, which way are you going? Are you going to buy Scarlet or what's the other color?
Violet, for sure.
Okay. I know which one I'm going to get you for Christmas then. So if you're buying Violet, I'll get you Scarlet. So you'll have both. There you go.
No, I don't want both.
Okay. So you don't get both every time?
No.
Really?
You have to play the exact same game now.
Yeah. I always was under the assumption that you would get all of them so you could catch them all. Which
you
was
can
always
just
the
trade
thing.
Some with somebody.
Yeah, you
for
trade
them.
For the ones that you want.
If I got it, I would probably get Scarlet because of Wanda. But Violet would have been my choice before my new allegiance.
I mean, the legendaries that they show. The one for Scarlet just looks bizarre. It looks like a motorcycle. But then those aren't even supposed... I mean, they're the cover art. They use them.
They both look like motorcycles.
Okay. Yeah, but the other one actually, like, uses the stuff. But the one that has the tires, they're not actually tires. They're, like, flotation devices.
Right.
So let me just ask this. Now that Pokemon is all on one system, right? It's all on Switch. Shouldn't they go past the two-game version?
They definitely should. And there's been a lot of flack that they've gotten. Even with Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, they found out that the cartridges, what's on them is pretty much exact. It's just like one line of code that differentiates.
Because
so if you got the digital download, them asking you, and the biggest kicker is it's technically a penny more to buy the bundle of the two games digitally than to just buy them separately.
Wow. Well, that cat is cute.
But you can't even give a discount for the same exact fucking game on code.
And they stopped making...
They just give you both lines. Let me clarify. Like, the size of the game is not double the size when you download it. They're just giving you that other line.
And they no longer do the version, like, the next year they would do, like, the combined version. Like, didn't...
Yeah, they did away with that, too.
Okay. So that's... I was wondering if they still did that. I'm not huge into that series.
Well, I'm sure they saw that as cannibalizing the sales of the others.
But, I mean, if there's a year in between.
Yeah.
Cannibal. You know what? I never even finished Sword of Shield. I don't remember which one I got. I always get Pokemon games, and I have fun with them, but I get burnt out really fast.
That was the case up until this past year. And I had a lot of fun with Diamond and then Arceus.
Maybe. I mean, I'm looking forward to my car being paid off because I'll have an extra $200-something a month.
I'll say this. This episode, we've had so much consumer advice on. We've been just...
Oh, Baldur's Gate 3 was early access. I still feel good about this thing. I paid for it 2 years ago. When it's out, I'm going to have it. I can play with everybody who's going to have it. I don't have to worry about it again. I paid for it when I was flush with cash.
I mean, that's fine. I'm wary about that because I don't want that kind of behavior to become the norm, because I only see it going worse for us as the consumers.
Well, what I was saying was, buying something that you know is still going to be upgraded and fixed is different than paying full price for a game that's supposed to be finished, but it's not playable till it gets patched.
So,
like, yeah. I would rather know.
But we don't, at the end of the day, we don't have the guarantee that, especially with so many game studios that shutter as soon as their game launches. Like, yeah. That happens so often.
It
so,
really
like,
does.
What kind of guarantee do we have that the higher company is not going to be like, fuck you, the game's out technically, and they aren't going to fix anything
with you buying a game that comes out and then the studio shutters and the game's supposed to be finished but it's unplayable and then they never patch it? Isn't that the same?
Yeah, but like I said, I don't buy games without researching
them.
Yeah, so by the time that a game is out, like, I've done my homework
I know what I'm adopting.
I'm just saying I would rather pay for a game that I know is not finished. And like, I just knowing that this is what I'm going to get, and then if it gets fixed, it's fixed. Not, it's probably sunk cost at the point.
I agree, I just think
that it should be a sliding scale of pay. Like, I think that would make it fair. Is, you shouldn't be asked to spend $60 4 years in advance of a game being finished just to play it in the meantime. They should have charged you $10-15. That would have been fair.
Okay. Now, Mike, I'm going to point out something to you. I agree that you seem to do a lot of research on certain games, but not if they're Nintendo games. You are such a day one buyer of all their games. Like, if they announce...
I haven't. Like, in the past several years, okay. I haven't gotten anything on day one I can think of.
Let me ask, so you didn't get Dread day one? I know you did.
Well, yes.
You're not going to get Metroid Prime 4 on day one on the next console that comes out?
But they, I mean, they've released so much gameplay footage leading up to that. And it wasn't a blind purchase because I was already intimately familiar with Samus Returns, done by the exact same studio, and I enjoyed that game.
Okay.
Baldur's Gate 3. Okay. Well, okay, I didn't go blind on Baldur's Gate because my friends were all hype. And we got to play it, and we played it together and stuff. And, like, Skid really likes it. So I'm just going on a peer recommendation, but it is the third game in the series.
Now, like I said,
Angela and her brother, actually, they grew up playing the other two and swear by them.
They finally added Bards. Like, I got on Steam the other day because I almost never get on Steam also. By the way, I got on Steam to download the Paradise Killer art book for this thing I was making, and then there was this huge download happening, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Why is it taking 100 years? And it was a huge Baldur's Gate thing.
It is interesting that, like, when you turn on your system of choice, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, a patch is available. This will take 2.5 hours, and it's 45.5 gigabytes. I'm just thinking about the most recent patch for Forza Horizon. And it's not because of anything changing with the main game. It's because they're basically preloading all the DLC.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I didn't play anything this week. Talk to me next Tuesday or this coming Tuesday when the Final Fantasy 14 patch 6.2 comes out, and it's a big content patch. So I will be. I haven't played anything. I played Stardew. I replayed Paradise Killer a bit because my friends finally started playing it because it was on sale. And
the Final Fantasy updates are catching up with the iPhones.
Well, no, it's because they put out the stories continue. They put out more main scenario quests until the next expansion comes out. So you're not just sitting there with nothing to do between expansions.
You're not just sitting there.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable because it's rare to see any update versions of anything that get into the sixes. Because every like first number in the series of a version is like a major update.
Yeah. So we're on 6.2. Yeah. So we've had 6.1 was a couple months ago, and then they had like 6.11, which are just like little things, and now it's like a big content patch, and they're giving us island sanctuaries finally, which is gonna be great, because that's you get a it's instanced, and you get a whole island, and you can do it's like Animal Crossing and Stardew, I guess, in Final Fantasy. Like you can do farming, and you can let your minions run around, so you have fun animals, and it has its own current. It's like its own thing. It's all solo. Like so much content.
Well, I guess we'll hear about that next time on the next episode. So we should probably wrap up.
Next episode of what?
Of Fun Sphere Game Club, Mike.
This game's.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
All right, well we'll catch up with you next time, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, what button do I hit? Oh,
sorry. Bye.